to be in Edinburgh. Great to be in Scotland. I spent the day yesterday in Stirling. My brother actually moved up to Scotland, so I'm getting to know the area a little bit better. Came across this morning to Edinburgh, but thank you for the invitation. Not that many of you had any option in it whatsoever, but thank you, Gordon, for the invitation to kind of come and be with you this morning. I love it sometimes when I get told that the film or the service is going to be filmed. And the reason is, because when God drops something in your heart to share, then you know it's going to be kind of noted and recorded for you to kind of look back on. And in a moment, I'm going to preach on Colossians chapter 3. But just as I was sat there, in fact, this morning I got here early and I was sat in Costa for about an hour and I was just praying, God, what's the specific thing that you want to bring to the church this morning? And nothing came particularly until I sat there and God just kind of gave me some things and I've just scribbled them down. So I'm going to share them and hopefully they'll be captured. Because today is Pentecost Sunday. And today is the day that we celebrate the birth of the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit. As Pentecostals, we don't only celebrate that one day a year. We see that kind of every single day. The Spirit enables us and empowers us in the way that we live our lives. But I was reading just in my personal devotions this morning, John chapter 14, and this is the words it says. Jesus replied, "All who love me." I'm just going to pause there. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but most of us, I would imagine, would sign up to that bit. Yeah, we turn up to church on Sundays because we love him. Yeah, I'm signed up to follow Jesus. I love him. I want to worship him. You know, I love coming to this church. The second time I've been here, but both times the worship just carries something of the presence of God. Yeah, and even just hearing about how you've gathered last night to worship God, we worship him because we love him. Yeah, get that tick. Big tick. But then it goes on to say, all who love me will do what I say. You see, there's a relationship between worship and obedience. And I just think when we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, sometimes as Pentecostals, we can be in danger of, we want the Spirit of God to help us jump a little bit higher and operate in the works of power. Yeah, we want that, don't we? We want to see healing. We want to see miraculous things. We want to have encounters with God. And absolutely, that is what we should crave for, long for, and desire. But alongside that worship comes obedience. Those who love me will do what I say. And Jesus goes on to say, I'm going to bring you the Holy Spirit, but the Father will send this advocate, my representative to you. This is the Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything and remind you what I've told you. One of the reasons the Holy Spirit came was to remind us how to keep following and walking in the ways of Jesus, observing what Jesus had taught us. So this is my word to you this morning. I felt that God just wanted to drop into Elim, Edinburgh, on the 9th of June, 2019, that as a church, you need to extend your influence. As you start getting that partnership between worship and obedience, that worship is not just our songs of praise, but it's our lives lived out in obedience to Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, you will extend your influence in two ways. Firstly, corporately, that you'll be corporately confident in the contribution you can bring to this city. I'm going to say that again, that you will be corporately confident together as a fellowship in the contribution that you can bring to this city. Not a poor relation, but a contributor to the kingdom of God coming to this city. God's giving you here a unique voice, and he wants you to raise your voice in this season, so don't keep quiet. Yeah, there's something together that you can do to extend the influence of God's kingdom, but also individually scattered, as you take his presence, you multiply the touch points that people can encounter the Spirit of God. Yeah, it's not just as one body you go around and there's only one way we can get to to know God by turning up here on a Sunday. No, as you go to the workplace, to your families, to colleges, schools, education places, wherever it is you go, you multiply the touch points where people can encounter the presence of God. So extend your influence. Be corporately confident, but also be individually scattered as you go wherever it is God takes you. Heavenly Father, I want to pray, Lord, that those words will resonate with this church. Father, I want to pray that what has been shared, Lord, if it is of you, that you will birth it, Lord, and that fruit will come from it. Lord, that this city, Lord, the 97% of people in this city who go nowhere near church every Sunday, Lord, will encounter something of the presence of God as this church rises up to be a people of influence. Lord, and as they're scattered into all sorts of places across this nation and around this region, Father, that they will take the presence of the Holy Spirit with them. Lord, that their conversation, that their lives, that their walks will be seasoned with the person of Jesus Christ. And Father, we just pray that many, many, many will come to know you. In Jesus' name, and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Well, it's great to be here. As Gordon said, I get the privilege of spending time overseeing the training of Elim. We have 550 churches around the UK. We've got about 4,000 churches around the world. And my role is really try to find out how we can ensure that our leaders within our movement are two things. Firstly, Holy Spirit anointed. Yeah? We want leaders who are anointed with the Spirit and the presence and the power of God. But secondly, practically equipped. Yeah? That there are things we can learn from others who've gone before us that we can kind of apply to our lives and to our ministry. So Holy Spirit anointed and practically equipped to serve God wherever it is he leads us. And one of the things I get to do, a privilege of heading up our theological college, Regent's Theological College, is nearly 100 years old. For 100 years, we've been calling people to ministry, training and releasing thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And the good news is this, okay? That this year, we have got more people in our theological college than we've ever had in our history. God is calling more and more young men and women, older men and women, all sorts of different shapes and sizes of people to be trained, not just for ministry as in leading churches, but ministry wherever it is that God has called them to. And we're in the business of training leaders to see lives absolutely transformed. So we've got a whole host of courses. There's some material out the back, and I'd love you to grab it. It looks a little bit like this, so come and have a chat with me. One of the best things is, especially for you guys living this side of the border, is we've changed the way we train now. So as well as being able to come and study full-time 3 years down in Malvern, which is our base near Birmingham in England, you can also travel in and out, like Johnny is doing, who's based in Erskine, just by traveling in and out for a short period of time and back again. And that enables people to carry on with the work God's called them to here, but to strengthen the muscles, theological muscles and practical muscles for ministry. So whether you're interested in youth work, theology, church leadership, we've even got a course in performing arts and theology, because we believe the good news of Jesus needs to be told in every strata of society. So come and have a chat with me, and I'd love to tell you more about that. We're not going to watch the video, we haven't got time, so we're going to jump straight into God's word this morning. Colossians chapter 3. Why don't we turn to it? We're going to look at a few verses together. And this is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church to encourage the church of Jesus Christ to be ready to serve him, to know what it means to be kingdom followers at this particular season of their lives. And he writes a whole letter, but we're just going to look at a part of the letter, Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to start from verse 12 together. But this is the story so far. If you read from the start of chapter 3, you'll hear phrases like this. It's time to put off. It's time to get rid. In fact, Paul gets really serious at one point, and he says, put to death. There are some things that used to feature in your life before you follow Jesus you need to get rid of. And there's a list, you can read it for yourselves. I'm not going to go into detail this morning. Bitterness, envy, jealousy, hatred, malice, lust, sexual immorality, all of those things that maybe were part of your life. Now you are a follower of Jesus, get rid of that stuff, yeah? That shouldn't feature in your life anymore. You follow Jesus, yeah? I love that kind of transition from spring to summer, you know? When you feel like there's stuff that's kind of gathered in your house for a season that needs to be got rid of. You know, it's normally my shed or my garage. Do you know what I mean? I just walk into the, how is so much stuff just gathered in this space? I want to get rid of some of it because there's a new season coming. And Paul is kind of saying that. All of that stuff that's cluttered your life, get rid of it. In fact, put it on the bonfire, yeah? It's not even a case of just burying it under the house in the cellar. It's get rid of this stuff. And then he carries on, verse 12, and he changes his terminology. He starts saying things like, put on, clothe yourselves with, yeah? So you've got rid of a load of stuff. Now you get to step into a walk-in wardrobe of everything that God wants to put on, yeah? All of the things that he wants to give you to live the Christian life today in 2019. So let's pick up from verse 12, Colossians chapter 3. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anybody who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, we've been called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Your version might be slightly different to mine, but I put the New Living Translation behind me so we can all see it, yeah? Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. We're going to focus on one verse, verse 17. That's all we've got time for this morning. So maybe you can invite me back and we'll look at verse 18 next time. But verse 17, we're just going to focus on this particular passage. What does it mean for you and me to reach into the kingdom wardrobe and start to wear some garments that Christ has given us to wear to represent him in this world? And Paul starts by saying to the believers, to the Christians, to the church in Colossae, whatever you do or say. Now, I'm going to ask for an honesty moment this morning. Because I don't know about you, but there are some times in my life where I think it's okay and it's easy to live for Jesus, yeah? When I'm a night of worship with kind of other Christians, and it's 4 hours of worship on a Saturday night, and it just feels so easy to be a Christian, yeah? We're in the presence of God and surrounded by others. But there are other moments when I find it difficult living for Jesus. When I've got tough choices to make, or I'm tired and I'm a bit worn out, or life hasn't gone the way I would have chosen. You see, this is my theory. It's okay to do whatever, yeah, whatever you do or say. It's okay to do whatever when it's the whatever you want to do. I've got teenage kids. And when I ask them to do something, they'll say, yeah, okay, Dad, I'll do that, play my PlayStation. But when I say, Dad, it's time to empty the dishwasher, I don't want to do that, whatever, Dad, yeah? That's not part of my schedule, yeah? And so I think sometimes as Christians, it's okay to do whatever when it's the whatever we want to do, but when we don't want to do that whatever, how do you do whatever? that sometimes we're asked to do things like forgive people who hurt us. Yeah? There are some times when we're asked to let go of bitterness that has kind of deposited itself in our lives. There are times that Jesus wants you to be humble and you want to be full of pride. I don't want to do that, whatever. Thank you very much, Jesus. I'm going to return to those garments, those comfy clothes of anger and jealousy and bitterness and hatred, instead of reaching into that wonderful wardrobe of forgiveness and gentleness and tender-hearted mercy. See, there's some whatevers it's okay to do, but there are other times we just want to say, whatever. Yeah? I don't want to live life that way, God. It's too hard. It's too difficult. Remember, Paul's writing this letter and he's been shipwrecked. He's been imprisoned. He's been flogged. He's been falsely accused. There's been some whatevers that have happened in his life that have made him get to this point where he can really own this for himself. Whatever you do or say. You see, sometimes life doesn't go to plan. Gordon was saying before that I spent most of my working life working for an organization called Youth for Christ. It was a great organization. I loved working 17 years of my life working for Youth for Christ, doing all sorts of things. And when I came to the end of that season, I wanted to finish really well. So I decided it would be great on my last day of work, rather than be paid by the organization, I could pay them as a gift for kind of all that they'd invested in me. But I didn't have any money. So I decided to raise some money by running a marathon. And I trained really, really hard for this marathon. I mean, like kind of running day after day after day. I'd look on my phone and it'd say, run 5 miles. So I'd just run 5 miles. And next day it'd say, run 8 miles. So I'd run 8 miles. And I trained. I'd run over 400 miles preparing for this particular race. And I was ready to go. I mean, I was really fit. I'd raised over £5,000 in pledges. That was far more than I ever got paid, far more than I'd ever seen in my life, you know? And I'm thinking, this is going to be brilliant. The last day of work, I'm going to be able to write a check and say, thank you for your investment in me. What a great way to finish. 3 days before the run, I'm getting some cash out of the cash point. I left my son in the car. He was about 12 at the time. And I type in the numbers into the cash point. And behind me, there's a big crunch, big crash. I turn around and my car, I'm sure I didn't park it quite that close to where I was standing. I'd left the handbrake off the car and it had rolled down the hill and it hit some concrete ballards just behind where my legs were. I turned around and obviously because I'd been training and I was physically fit, I thought I was able to stop a 2-ton car by putting my foot on the bumper. So I put my foot on the bumper as it rolled down the hill and my foot went crunch between the bumper of the car and the concrete ballard. 400 miles of training. And I spent the day of the marathon in hospital with a broken foot. Wasn't the whatever I would have chosen, yeah? In fact, I went a whole year where my foot wasn't really back to normal. It was still aching. It was full of pain. I spent the last 3 months working for Youth for Christ, sat on my sofa doing nothing. It wasn't the whatever I would I know there'll be people in a room this size who've gone through some really serious challenges, relationship challenges, health challenges. There'll be people here dealing with addictions. There'll be people here dealing with financial problems. There'll be people here who are dreading going to work tomorrow morning because they just can't face what it is that's in front of them. But Paul says, whatever you do or say, not just sometimes, not just on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning, but every day of our lives, whatever we do or say. What does Paul encourage us to do? Well, he says this, make allowances for each other's faults. When people offend you, be quick to forgive. Anyone who offends you, remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive. When I went to work in a Bible college, I was kind of half thinking, some people just went to Bible college to get clever for Jesus, you know? If they could say that they'd done a module in Greek or Hebrew and pre- pretend that they knew what the Bible said in its original language, you know, then they'd be able to kind of boast about their knowledge in the good news. Do you know what? I couldn't have been further from the truth. I came across this particular student. She came up to me one day and said, one of the guys who is working and studying at the college is really ill and he has to take 3 months off work to have an operation. Would it be possible for me to do his job? And I thought, slightly opportunistic, but yet somebody needs to do the job. Unbeknown to me and everybody else in the college, this young woman worked every single shift that this guy was supposed to do while he was off with his bad back. Every penny she earned, she gave to him and his family so he could get through college. That's a whatever life. That's a life that says, I'm not in this for myself. I'm not in this for greed. I'm not in this to do what I want to do. I'm in this life to serve him and his kingdom. I want to live life his way. Whatever you do or say, goes on, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah? You and I get to represent Jesus when life's going well on a sunny Sunday afternoon. But you also get to represent Jesus in your relationships and when no one's looking. You get to represent Jesus with your integrity in business. You get to represent Jesus in the way that you keep peace and harmony. You get to represent Jesus with your desire to forgive people. You get to represent Jesus on good days and bad days and busy days and quiet days, even on your days off. You get to represent Jesus, Paul says, by wearing tender-hearted mercy, kindness. As Christians, we get to be kind to people and represent him in this world. Humility, gentleness, patience, peace, love. How are you representing Jesus in Edinburgh this year, this week, today? How are you representing Jesus? I had the privilege about 4 years ago of spending some time out in Central Africa. I went out to a place called Uganda and went to Kampala, which is the capital city of Uganda. And I did a whole host of projects while I was out there. But while I was out there, I was invited to go and spend some time with some Ugandan boxers. I mean, like really, really big, fit guys. And I had to preach to these Ugandan boxers. And I thought, if I'm going to preach to them at 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning, I want to make sure they're really tired first so they can't run after me. So I let them do their training, and they were kind of running up hills really, really fast, very, very kind of steep hills. And then they walked down, and then they ran up again, and they walked down. And then I thought to myself, it would only be right before I preached to kind of have a go at boxing. I'm not a boxer, and I've never done it before, but I just thought kind of earn my credibility, you know? So I pulled on these kind of horrible, sweaty kind of boxing gloves. And I knew how to stand because I've seen someone do it before on telly. But I've never thrown a punch in my life, you know. And I'm stood there kind of pretending I know what I'm doing. I picked the littlest guy. His name was Roger. He was about 17 years old. And I thought, I'm going to be able to at least stand there for 30 seconds with Roger. I've never seen anyone's hands move so fast. I mean, like, I didn't even see them move. I just felt my head going from side to side. I'm sure it was just an excuse to hit a white guy, you know what I mean? I'm just getting knocked from side to side. And sure enough, after 30 seconds, I pull these gloves off. I throw them on the floor in disgust. And I just say, surrender, game over. It took me ages to get my breath back. And then I kind of sat down and I have a chat with Roger. And I said, Roger, compared to me, you look like you're really good. But how good are you really? And he says, well, and this is where I've been stitched up. He says, I'm looking forward to representing Uganda in the Commonwealth Games in a few weeks' time. I didn't realize I was his sparring partner for that little moment. So sure enough, I wanted to see Roger step into the ring. I wanted to see how good he was really now he'd been trained by me. How good was he going to be in Glasgow? 2012, a few years ago, and sure enough, Roger got into the ring in the blue corner to fight against this Colombian boxer, and after 20 seconds, that happened. Roger takes a blow to the face that really knocks him senseless, and after 2 minutes, His Commonwealth Games was over. Let's take that off the screen. We don't need to look at it for too long. I haven't been back to Kampala, but if I went and found Roger, he'd be a bit older now. I'm sure he'd still be boxing because he was a passionate boxer. And if I sat down and said, Roger, was it really worth getting up so early in the morning and doing all of that training for 2 minutes in the Commonwealth Games? Was it really worth all of those sacrifices and all of the money and all of the effort and energy for like 2 minutes? You traveled half the way around the world for 2 minutes. I wouldn't have the confidence to say it like that. But if I did, you know what I mean? I think Roger would be grinning from ear to ear. And he would scream back at me, I got to represent my country for 2 minutes in the Commonwealth Games. Guys, you and I don't get 2 minutes or 2 weeks or 2 years. We get a lifetime to represent the King of Kings every single day of our lives. Yeah? We are his representatives in the world. How are you representing Jesus today? Well, we get told in Colossians to represent Jesus by forgiving people quickly when they offend us. Might not look as glamorous as a big punch or a left hook, yeah? But it's what we're called to do. We're called to represent Jesus by being humble when everything within us wants to be proud. We're called to represent Jesus by being full of tender-hearted mercy. It doesn't sound quite as glamorous as maybe what the world says success looks like, but that's what we're called to. Because we've put off all of that stuff, the bitterness, the envy, the jealousy, the hatred, the pride, and we're starting to reach into the wardrobe and wear the kingdom clothes to represent him in this world. You know, I get asked all around the country as I travel around, how can we develop our church? How can we reach our communities for Jesus? What would mission strategies look like that would fill all our buildings and transform communities? I think the answer is so simple, and yet it's so hard. It's every single one of us choosing today to be a representative of Jesus every single day of our lives. You know, if we represented him around the dinner table with our conversation, if we represented him in the workplace with the decisions and the choices we made, people would say, what on earth has happened to you? I want to be part of that. I want to follow him too. Paul goes on, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he finishes, in fact, it's a theme throughout the whole of Colossians, read it for yourself, be thankful. Again and again and again. In fact, 6 times in Colossians 3, Paul says, be thankful. Always be thankful. P.S. Be thankful. And again, do it. Be thankful. Always. Is it even possible, living in the UK, to always be thankful? Always is a pretty big word, isn't it? Yeah? Maybe like 95% of the time I can be thankful, but I need a day off from time to time. How can I always be thankful? I just wonder if Paul recognized that thankfulness was a key ingredient to representing Jesus, whatever the circumstances. You see, because sometimes when life doesn't go the way we want, the obvious thing for us to do is to be full of bitterness and to groan and complain and to moan. How can I be thankful in that circumstance? How can I be thankful when I haven't got the money I need to live? How can I be thankful when I have to live with this person who's really annoying me? How can I be thankful when my health isn't as good as I want it to be? How can I be thankful? Maybe there's something on offer from the very heart of God that gives us a supernatural thankfulness. Despite the circumstances of life, despite the whatevers that we find ourselves in, that allow us to represent Jesus in this world, whatever the circumstances. Maybe God wants to change the way we see things. So there's a thankfulness inside us that bursts out of us that isn't dependent on the circumstances of life. Always be thankful. My son's now 22, when he was in secondary school, he made the decision to always go to school. It was a good decision, and I liked that decision as a parent. You know, so he went like for the whole of year seven, and he got like a check for going every single day. And he decided, if I get £10 gift voucher for going every single day in year seven, how big's the check going to be if I go like the whole of school? So we went every... So there were points in year eight, year nine, year 10 when he had flu. And I said, Josh, just have a day off. And he's like, no, I'm going to school. I'm determined. He was disciplined. He went every day. All the way through year 7, 8, 9, 10. He got most of the way through year 11. And in April, before his exams, he actually got glandular fever and never went to school again. This is the point I'm going to make. Sometimes you could leave here today and think, I'm going to make a deliberate decision to always be thankful. It won't be long before you fall flat on your face. It's not something we can manufacture within us, thankfulness. It's not something we can make a resolution. I'm going to choose to be happy. No. God's spirit of thankfulness needs to come and invade our spirits that enables us to be able to be thankful despite the circumstances of life. I was training for the same run I was telling you about earlier. It was on holiday. I was in France, and I still had to run on holiday. And I looked on my phone, and it said 5 miles that day, so I started my run. And this guy shouted over, I knew him quite well, and he shouted over to me. His name was Frank. And Frank says, they're going on a run, can I come with you? Now, Frank was, at the time, about 62. I was in my late 30s. And I said, okay, Frank, you can come with me, but I might need to go a bit faster sometimes. So we headed out on the run. And Frank struggled with quite bad arthritis. I'd seen him sometimes sat down in a chair and taking ages to stand up. I saw him walking around really, really slowly because he struggled with pain in all of his joints and muscles. So I was surprised that Frank wanted to run with me, but we went off on this run. A mile into the run, Frank turns to me and he says, I thought you wanted to go fast, and he sprinted off into the distance. I'm now chasing down 62-year-old arthritic Frank. There is no way he's going to beat me on this run. I'm not going to get back and tell my youngest son I got beaten by a guy who's 20-something years older than me. So I'm chasing him down. It takes me 5 miles to get back. After 5 miles, we get back to where we set off. And I just about caught up with Frank as we got back into the campsite. He looks like a spring chicken, like he's just stepped out of the shower. And I look absolutely wrecked. So I get my breath back and I turn to Frank. I said, Frank, how can you run so well? This is what he said. I've run every single day of my life since I was 17. My muscles just know how to run. See, I just wonder if God is inviting you and I to allow him to train our muscles of thankfulness. So the most natural thing in the world for us, even when the circumstances of life are screaming at us to be complaining and moaning and bitter and full of envy and jealousy and unforgiveness, even when all of that's going on, we're saying, no, I've got a spirit of thankfulness. And that spirit of thankfulness enables me to be a representative for Jesus despite the circumstances. Whatever is going on, I'm going to represent him in this world. Paul put it like this, or the writer of the Hebrews, I should say, put it like this. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. How are you training the muscles of thankfulness this morning? Are you choosing to reach into the wardrobe that Christ's given you to wear? Say, I'm going to live as a kingdom citizen. I'm going to represent him in this world. Or are you going to go back to those comfortable clothes of envy and jealousy and bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness? What clothes are you wearing? What wardrobe are you reaching into this morning? You've got an opportunity to represent him, whatever the circumstances of life. But we need to invite God to come and fill us with a spirit of thankfulness. I've listened to enough sermons over the years that I know that however good the preacher is, sometimes it's easy to switch off, yeah? And you can listen to the first 5 minutes and then you forget what they say for the rest of it. So I'm being really kind to you this morning. And I'm going to give you a 90-second edited highlights of the whole talk, okay? So if you've switched off and you haven't heard a word I've said, now is the time to listen, okay? It's in poem form, and it's the whole message in 90 seconds. I don't mean to try and be clever, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that I never, but if we're going to represent, we've got to endeavour to be people who are thankful, whatever. If you want to last the race, keep going forever. Be a blessing to others, whoever, wherever, when or whatever leaves us face down under pressure, needing a pick-me-up or a quick refresher. If our summer feels like a dark November and you could be knocked down easier than a feather. If life feels more like cheap plastic than genuine leather. People do your head in and you can't get on together. I don't mean to try and be clever. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that I never, but if you're going to represent Jesus, we've got to endeavour to be people who are thankful, whatever. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet for a moment, and then maybe just as our eyes are closed. I don't want to belittle the fact that some of the whatever circumstances in our life that we face can be really challenging. Yeah. You know, I talked about a broken foot, but my foot's better and I'm jumping around and everything's fine. But some people live with difficult circumstances for years and years and years. There'll be people in this room this morning who are dealing with health challenges or relationship challenges. And we're going to pray a prayer this morning, and this is the prayer we're going to pray. God, you know the whatevers, the circumstances that we're living in. Maybe right now you're just aware. You don't need me to kind of expand on it. You're just kind of, God just dropped something in your heart. You're living with this circumstance and you're thinking, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Even this day is difficult enough. Never mind next week or next month or next year. God, I need you in this particular circumstance of my life. So if you're dealing with a challenging circumstance, maybe a health issue, this kind of relates to the message that was brought earlier in the service. Maybe there's a financial challenge, maybe there's a relationship challenge, a job challenge, whatever it is that you're facing. I'm going to pray two prayers. This is the first prayer. God, come and change the circumstance. God, reach in your miraculous power and turn the circumstance around for your good. Bring healing, bring provision, bring breakthrough, bring forgiveness, bring a miraculous change to the circumstances of life. That's prayer number one. Prayer number two is this. God, if for some reason I need to live with this whatever for a while, help me to represent you anyway. God, if for some reason you've kind of allowed this health challenge, if for some reason I'm in this place of financial difficulty, if the circumstances of life are as you've intended them to be for this season, God, I don't want to stop representing you. I want to be a better representative of you. I want you to give me opportunities to represent you by giving me a thankful heart despite the circumstances. So if there's a situation that you're facing, I just want to invite you, just kind of maybe just put your hand on your chest, just as a kind of count me into this prayer. Count me in, God, to everything that you have for me. Maybe you're aware of somebody in the church or the fellowship that's going through a tough time right now. You're walking with them on that. You might just want to go alongside them and even just stick a hand on the shoulder and say, I'm with you. You're not on your own in this. So God, I just pray this morning, Lord, for each person in this place. You know that life doesn't always go the way we would have chosen it to go. And so God, some of the whatever, some of the circumstances that we find ourselves in, that everything within us wants to react to. Everything within us wants to blame you, God, and do life our own way. But God, today we choose to say, first and foremost, come and transform those circumstances. God, I pray for healing this morning in this place. Lord, we pray for lives to be healed, emotions to be healed, bones to be healed. Father, we pray for muscles to be knitted back together. Father, we pray for overcoming of diseases in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for healing in this place, spiritual healing, emotional healing, relationships to be healed. Father, we pray for breakthroughs in the workplace. Father, we pray for breakthroughs in our relationships. Father, we pray for breakthroughs in all sorts of circumstances of life. Father, we want to pray you change the environment we find ourselves in. Pray that there'll be stories this week, next week. We won't be able to keep them contained because of what you are doing in us and through us. Lord, they'll give us stories to represent you in this world. But Father, I also want to pray almost a bigger prayer this morning, that if we have to live with some of these whatevers, if for whatever reason the healing doesn't come this morning, if for whatever reason our bank balance looks the same tomorrow as it does today, God, that you enable us to be your representatives in this world. Despite the circumstances of life, we'll be able to draw from the wardrobe of gentleness and patience and peace and humility, and we'll wear those clothes to represent you, Jesus, whatever the circumstances of life. And God, finally, I just want to pray for a supernatural dose of thankfulness on this church. God, I want to pray that this church will be known as a people of God who are thankful, whatever the circumstances of life. God, I pray that as they go, as they scatter from here, as they go back to their families, their workplaces, Lord, as they go into the community, wherever it is you call them to go, they'll carry a thankfulness. It'll be the most natural thing in the world for them to thank you. Lord, then I pray that that will redefine who they are. People of thankfulness, people who carry the presence of God with us and represent you in this world. So God, today we say that we want to be those people who, whatever we do or say, we choose